to summarize what hypnosis is imagine what someone said to you when you were a little kid. Like, there's something that someone said to you that was when you were a little kid that has always stuck with you, even into adulthood. There's a belief that you have about something. If it's about road trips, it's about planes, if it's about cooking for yourself, it's about money. This belief was installed when you were a little kid. Now, with a hypnotherapist, imagine they go back in time to you as a little kid, and for a year straight, they tell you that you're amazing, you're smart, you can do anything that you want to do. For a whole year, at the age of 7, someone told you that every day. Imagine how different your life would be.
The new school. This is The New School with your host, Christine Hong. Welcome to a new kind of school, where we talk about career paths you don't normally get to hear about in the classroom. Every episode, I talk to someone with an interesting life path and learn about how they got to where they are today. Hey guys, happy Monday. I'm your host, Christine Hong, and welcome to the last episode of season 2. I'm really excited to share with you our guest today because she kind of had a similar career path to me. Growing up, I always used to feel super self-conscious that I didn't have a single passion. I remember feeling super jealous of other people who knew exactly what they wanted to be when they grew up. Even on the show, we've had a few guests who told me there's only one thing they ever considered for a career. Jen Kramer, she only wanted to be a magician, and Matt Miller, he only ever considered skateboarding. So this week's guest, Julia Bodo, has had many career changes like me. She started as a top sales rep and manager, then published 2 Amazon bestsellers, a travel guide and a fantasy novel, then had her own 6-figure freelance mobile app design business until she burnt out and decided to try hypnotherapy for the first time. So in this episode, I chat with Juliet about what being hypnotized for the first time was like, why that experience caused her to give up her 6-figure sales business and become a full-time hypnotherapist, how she felt about that career change and explain it to other people, and what her day-to-day is like.
When did you first hear about hypnotherapy, and what was your first impression of it?
So it's funny because I wrote a fantasy novel where I introduced hypnotherapy to the character, and that's what activated like her powers. So hypnotherapy was always like something magical to me. Was it something that I actually thought I would do? And so this is like 2015. And then I had a breakup and I saw an ad for a hypnotherapist and it said heartbreak. And so I actually went to her and it was an amazing experience. Like, that was like the easiest breakup I've ever had. And so I was like, can you erase them from my mind? She's like, it's not how that works, but we can ease the energy between you two and the emotional break. So we cut cords. And so flash forward to the end of 2018, I just felt so lost. Like, I was making money and I hit my business goals and I just still was unhappy. I still felt stuck and I was not excited for the next level. And so I discovered a program, and in the program, it's a mindset program and it was about manifestation. And so I was never into like manifestation and law of attraction, but the way she presented it was like the psychology behind it. So with my degree in psychology, I could get behind her explanation. And so everyone had to do the hypnosis in the program. And I was putting it off. And then I saw people in the group like, oh my God, like, I was like, wow, like, I'm from Brooklyn, so I don't know like what you guys talking about. Like, so I was like, let me do this thing. I went under hypnosis and wow, I healed my inner child. It was crazy. I was like, is it raining in my room? I was crying.
You could do it for yourself, like just off the guide. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The self hypnosis. And then she did a hypnosis within the program. So it was like, we were primed and ready to make the shift.
Yeah. How did you discover this program? What is it called? Can I use it?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's Rich Babe Academy by Manifestation Babe. It was great because it introduced me to not just like manifestation, but hypnosis. I was like, this is what is missing from you, these mindset programs. It's interesting that it's not promoted as much. People still kind of like are like, oh, let's do meditation, but hypnosis is different because you're under a deeper trance and it's targeted suggestions. Basically, to summarize what hypnosis is imagine what someone said to you when you were a little kid. Like, there's something that someone said to you that was when you were a little kid that has always stuck with you, even into adulthood. There's a belief that you have about something. If it's about road trips, it's about planes, if it's about cooking for yourself, it's about money. This belief was installed when you were a little kid. Now, with a hypnotherapist, imagine they go back in time to you as a little kid, and for a year straight, they tell you that you're amazing, you're smart, you can do anything that you want to do. For a whole year, at the age of 7, someone told you that every day. Imagine how different your life would be.
Oh my God. It makes me want to do that for my future kid. But also, well, one, how did you discover that pamphlet? What's it called?
Manifestation Babe. I think she was running an Instagram ad.
Okay. We will link to it in the show notes for our listeners. Two, okay. I get the hesitation with the hypnotherapy. So when you were like, okay, I'm going to try it, how did you perform it on yourself?
The intro is like you lay down in a quiet room and it's almost similar to meditation. And the suggestions to bring you under, you're taken under with the guide, the guided imagery and the guided instructions. And then you do a deepener. So there's something called a deepener to take the person even more into hypnosis. And then you do a convincer, because sometimes people are like, I'm not hypnotized. But if you do the convincer, then you could check like, yeah, okay, so I'm hypnotized. And then you create a metaphor or image. So like, for example, you're going into a room, but the room actually represents your mind. And you're unlocking doors within the room. You're unlocking doors within your mind. And so the subconscious mind thinks in pictures and feelings and sounds. So using this imagery will get the message directly to your subconscious mind. So consciously, you'll be like, what? Like, why am I in a room? But your subconscious is like, oh, okay. So you want us to do X, Y, Z. It takes that imprint of information, instructions, and puts it on the priority shelf of things to do.
Especially since we're all online now.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, for example, Twitter is a great stream of consciousness and even like subliminal marketing. So you'll see something consistently for months. If you know you've had great relationship with men and you've gone on great dates, and all of a sudden people are like, oh, guys, just pay $20 for dates. They don't want to pay for dates. They don't want to pay for dates. They don't want to pay for dates. And you see that on your timeline. And all of a sudden you have a date and you're like, oh, yeah. Guys don't want to pay for dates. And you're like, wait, that's not my actual thought. It's just something that I've been seeing consistently for 30 days. And you'll catch yourself doing that. And you're like, maybe I should start a TikTok after like trying not to do it. But you see so many videos and you're like, you know, all right, savage. Like, I'm 32. Why am I doing this?
So it makes you realize you shouldn't be doing these repetitions.
It makes you realize that you should curate your social media as much as you can, because media is the easiest way to speak to your conscious, your subconscious mind, because it thinks in pictures, sounds, and feelings. So if you see a picture that makes you feel a certain way, your subconscious is going to log that and continuously log that.
I do the opposite almost. I just don't check social media. And I try to like get a diverse newsletters and talk to diverse people over Zoom. But who knows? I could be creating my own like narrow-minded social, like in-person network.
It's funny, I'm actually going to record a YouTube video about how to brainwash yourself, essentially. So what people can do. And I posted a thread on Twitter about how to not get controlled by the media, because a lot of stuff is going to be coming onto your feed now. So it's like important for you to, when you're looking at the news or you're watching and you're trying to get these updates, to remove empathy. You don't want to tap into what's going on emotionally, because then it feels like it's happening to you, to your subconscious mind. So you could be happy and healthy and you're feeling bad about the people that are sick, and your subconscious is like, are we sick too? You know, like, no, you're like, no, no, we're not. We're fine. We're here. We're just, you know, we're sympathizing. So you can still sympathize, but it's important that you remove that emotional layer of empathy and not tap into the news story emotionally.
Oh, right. I'm the worst hypochondriac. like as soon as people were coughing, I was like, do I have it? Like every time my throat was sore, I was like, do I have corona? Like,
yeah, it's crazy. And so like that auto-suggestion consistently has people like coming down with symptoms, even if they test negative.
Right. They call it placebo effect. Exactly. Wait, so you had your first hypnotherapy experience. You said it was mind-blowing. How did it feel to you? You said it felt like being reaffirmed as a child?
Yeah, so this specific hypnosis was for money blocks. Like there are other types of hypnosis. So this one was to remove the money blocks. And I didn't realize why I had my relationship with money. Essentially, you have to go back from birth to age 7 because that's when the subconscious programming is most powerful. And so I went back to, I believe, 7 years old. And I remember sitting at the lunch table with my friends. And then they were saying something about some girl, like, because she didn't have, like, the nice lunchbox and the nice, like, high C. She had, like, store-bought juice or something. And I remember thinking, like, as long as I have my name brand stuff, I'll always have friends and people always like me.
Oh, my God. Interesting. So after this experience, your mind was blown. Did you think, I want to look more into this? Or what was your next thought?
Yeah, I was like, let's clear some more stuff. So she doesn't offer one-on-one sessions, but it led me to other hypnotherapists. I didn't see anyone that was like my age or like the energy that Manifestation Babe has, you know? And so I stumbled onto a place to get certified, but it was in LA. And the time I was in Brooklyn. And I was like, I'm actually ready for a change. So if I do this for 1 year, like I would love to just move to LA for 1 year and just do this study. And so I went from beginning hypnosis to now I'm a trainer. So I train hypnotherapists now. So I discovered the school. I was doing business funding in the marketing agency. And I'm like, now I'm going to be a hypnotherapist.
Did you feel insecure at all? Or?
Yes. Yes. So I was so insecure that I didn't tell anyone why I was moving to LA. And then also the philosophy that I had on this old business account was just like, work hard, get it, girl. Like very, very like, you know, feminine energy and masculine energy is like push, pull, not like gender, but the energy wise. So energetic, I was always like, push, 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 work for it, do it, do it. I would post stuff like, you know, good thing. And so I realized this is not it. The way that things fell into place was that I had to move out of my Brooklyn apartment because they sold the brownstone. And so I was in New Jersey and then I found a place in Venice Beach. And it was funny because I started to do like really active manifestation. I started to really just like start doing exercises. And one of the exercises I did was to imagine the end scene and create a mental loop. Like that's something that you do with NLP.
Can you actually elaborate what NLP is?
Sure. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. And so each person has their own idea of a word. Certain words mean things to people. And so as a collective, we have agreed on certain words meaning certain things. So if I said, hey, I'm going to send you a contract, you're like, should I get a lawyer to look at it? Versus, hey, I'm just going to send over the agreement and you can take a look and sign it, send it over. The words create certain feelings and certain mental images in your mind. As a neurolinguistic programmer, I start to use certain phrases and words to help you access different parts of your mind and see different things. And I ask you certain questions to elicit specific responses. And then we also can use imagery with our words to help you get rid of cravings. Like if you're addicted to a certain craving, we can do a swish pattern to remove that. So for example, with swish pattern, if you just can't stop eating French fries, I would ask you like, what's a food that you don't like?
Olives. Yeah.
Okay. So through neuro-linguistic programming, you would go through a series of steps that would make your mind all of a sudden associate French fries with olives. Then you're like, yeah, I don't like French fries either.
Interesting. So it creates new connotations for existing words, thoughts, images in your head.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you use hypnosis to lock it in.
Okay. I get how they pair really well together. Is that common, by the way?
No, a lot of people actually are just like NLP practitioners, or they just do hypnosis. And I noticed too, a lot of people don't feel comfortable doing hypnotherapy. They might do, like, they call it guided meditation. So they don't take people as deep as they need to. And I feel like it's a disservice. It's like you did this training and you're afraid to share it because of like how you feel like other people will take it in. But there are people that really need this, you know. You know, I had a therapist, you know, so therapy offers you clarity, essentially. So you understand that you have the problem. But with hypnotherapy, you can really essentially get rid of the problem in a shorter time period and then still have your therapist to check in and recalibrate. You know, it's not one or the other. Like people are saying, oh, so I could get rid of my therapist. I'm like, no, you wouldn't get rid of your doctor. Like, oh, so I don't have to go to the doctor anymore now that I have a fitness trainer. It's holistic. You know, you're not just a one-dimensional person. And I think like when we treat ourselves that way, that's where the problems are created.
So you're in Venice, you're trying this hypnotherapy program. You're considering the idea of getting, is it called like you become a master hypnotherapist?
Yeah.
Basically?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because even like I had this idea and I had this clear path, I still was fighting it. Because when I landed in LA, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. It's like, I don't need to do hypnotherapy. Like, I still didn't see my identity was still as a business funding coach, as an agency owner. It was not like, what am I doing? Like, I never really talked about mindset before. Like, but I gave people advice, you know, and as a business funding coach, I gave people advice. I'm good at finding ways to really do things the right way and customize it, but I still didn't identify myself as someone to do that. So the first day of class, subconsciously, I was self-sabotaging, but I overslept. And so I was just like, I'm not going to go. And so I called to see if I could like get a refund. It was actually the founder that picked up. And so like, she never picks up the phone. So it was like that moment. She's like, it's me. I'm one of the founders. No, just come. It's fine. I was like, yep, yeah, I'm late. It's fine. So she said something. I think she NLP'd me because I was like, all of a sudden, like in the Uber, like, day, but I went each day and then I started to get relaxed and I was like, this is really cool. And then doing the exercises on other classmates and doing it on myself. And I started to see things differently. And I was just going to do the basic program just so I can help. The plan was to incorporate it into my business funding practice so I can help my clients and their mindset with business funding, because I noticed how mindset is important for everything. Raising funds for startups and even just like applying to different loans and different grants, you kind of like have to be like, I can do anything. You have to be gung-ho about having these different options and applying and being optimistic about all of them to stay on top of it. And I'd have clients, their applications weren't ideal, but they were excited and they were focused and they eventually got funded. And then I have applicants where they have like really great applications, but they would like turn it in late or they would like forget something. Eventually they would drop off. And so I was like, oh, I could use hypnosis in my practice to help them. You know, everyone feel like the optimistic applicant. And so that was the plan. And I was just going to stay there, do the basic hypnotherapy program. But then I stayed for master and then I stayed for trainer's training.
Wow. What does that mean, by the way, master and trainer?
As a master NLP practitioner, I'm able to perform something called a breakthrough session. So you spend a weekend with me, essentially. So it's almost like spiritual mental rehab. And we go in, we dive in deep. We go in deep to like your worst fears, the shadow side of you, the negative stuff. Like we bring that all up to surface. And then we make peace with it. And then we talk about, we realign your values across all areas of your life. Because a lot of times people kind of say like, oh, I'm the boss at work, but you know, at home, I fall back or I do this. It's like your identity across the areas of your life is disjointed. And that's why you have stress. You don't have this overall clear identity of who you are in your life. So we realign all the areas of your life so you feel and rebalance it. And then we talk about your real true goals for the next year, 3 years, 5 years, your life? What do you really, really want? Eventually, it's like you come in and you're like, yeah, this is what I believe in. I want this and this. And then at the end of it, you kind of like see like, oh, that was not actually what I wanted. Okay, I get it now.
That sounds very addictive because I'm imagining you did it for yourself and you've had quite a few career jumps. So I've had that issue too. So I'm wondering, like, were you like, what's my identity? How do I brand myself? How do I introduce myself to people?
Everything. And I realized like I was like a certain person in relationships, but then I was a certain person with my family. And then I was another person with my clients. It's like person that was doing mine. She's like, no wonder you're tired. No wonder you got burnt out. You're like four different people.
Is that not normal?
No, that is normal. We're taught to do that when naturally you should feel comfortable just being you in all areas of your life. It makes it so much easier. You're putting yourself first and you're being true to yourself and you're naturally you. So you're not always trying to be someone else.
How do you align that with other people's, not expectations, but I'd say if you're younger or maybe female or not white, right? In the corporate world, some people won't take you seriously unless you have a certain demeanor that you don't necessarily have with your friends or your boyfriend. So how do you align that?
It's more like of an empowering exercise because it's like you are stepping into the role as, because you may be trying hard because you subconsciously don't believe it yourself.
Especially when you're younger.
Yeah. So it's like highlighting to you your strengths. It's like, actually, you are pretty much sometimes the smartest person in the room. It's okay to be, you know, it's all right to be. It's like, if you have an idea, you should share it with the team. If you have an idea at home with your family, you share with them, right? Why can't you share it with your team at work? You know, asking questions like that.
So you were describing master NLP practitioner and you said there's a next level called trainer. So what does that mean?
Yeah. So as a trainer, I'm able to open up my own training institute. So that's what Forward Institute is. So next year we'll have a location in Brooklyn. So I'll be able to train hypnotherapists and NLP practitioners and EFT and also Reiki practitioners because I'm getting my master Reiki.
Oh, so it means you can actually train other people. That actually makes so much sense. It's like first you learn, then you be a teacher.
Yeah. And so that was even like even more work because it's like you really have to be 100% invested into the law, the rules, the mental laws, essentially, and into this lifestyle. So it's like I'm a completely different person, essentially. And it's funny that I'm here in New Jersey because this is like the perfect setting to see how different I am, your family, because they've seen you grow up and they know you to be a certain way. Like my entire family is looking at me like, oh, like first they were like, okay, but now it's like, this is me. Like they accept it.
How did you seem different to them now?
I used to have a temper. Like I used to have like a short fuse. Don't bother her. Like, don't eat her leftovers. She's high vibes. You could eat her leftovers now. I'm like, no. So it's just really funny. And then the energy, like I'm more open. So they'll ask me for advice or check in with me for certain things. Like I'm more stable and grounded. My clients, they have, you know, especially with quarantine, dealing with toxic family situations. So it's like everyone is you pushed out. You create your subconscious minimum for a certain behavior and you create your subconscious minimum for like how much money you make, how you allow people to treat you. Once you create that subconscious minimum, then people kind of fall in line with that.
So you got your trainer and master certification for NLP and for hypnotherapy in Venice, California. So what did you do next? Because you also had this sales business, people how to raise money for their business. Is this the Forward Startup Solutions?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually got an online business manager for Forward. It's like after doing this work, it was like I no longer really felt a connection with these other businesses. But I knew like, you know, I had a lot of money invested in it and I was just like kind of coming back to earth. I knew like the best solution would be just having someone to manage it, not just like getting rid of the business. I had a team too. So I couldn't just be like, all right, everyone, I'm now hypnotherapist. This is it. So I got an online business manager for both businesses. And so that has been really helpful. And then before Startup Solutions, I was trying to incorporate the mindset, but it was almost like trying to like push it in there. And I realized that the people that I would be attracting, they would either want one or the other for business coaching or mindset. So it's like, if they come to me for business funding and I'm like, so I want you to take a deep breath in. So I decided to just create the separate website Ford Institute. And since I was going to start training people, I just had that as just a separate instance. And I started to incorporate myself into it because before it was almost like I focused on the industry. I wasn't a lot of personal branding involved in my other businesses. It wasn't me, my face on the business really. But with Ford Institute, I talk about myself a lot because I'm going to be hypnotizing people. So I want them to know, like, feel my energy, know my values and why I'm doing this. So it resonates with them. And so they know who they're coming to see, essentially, as a practitioner. That's when I, like, started to tweet a lot more. I started to post on Instagram more and really just, like, start sharing everything I learned, my mental before and after, like, where I was and where I am now. And if you're here now, you can get here with me in just as little time as also. This wasn't something that took years of therapy. It's something that I was able to do within under a year.
How did you get your first client? And you said you've had a deal with skeptics. So how did you overcome that?
Oh, so when I made the decision to do it, that's when the client showed up, actually. I was getting my nails done and the woman next to me was like asking me questions. And I was like, yeah, I'm a hypnotherapist because I was stepping into that identity.
That was your first time saying I'm a hypnotherapist at that nail salon.
Yeah.
Instead of I'm a business owner or I train.
Yeah.
Startup. Interesting. And then you got your first client just like that.
Yeah.
By changing your mindset.
It's completely shifted because she was a mom and she's like, I've just been feeling this rage, road rage. And so, you know, that was the first thing that I treated.
Wow. I'm imagining every hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner has their own types of techniques they prefer, a niche. How did you refine your technique and decide which technique to use for this client in particular?
I think it was easier because when I was telling her about the process and what I do, and I suggested to her what to do, it made it easier kind of to see like what process I would use to help her deal with this issue. When someone comes to you for a particular issue, there's really an underlying, you know, subconscious reason. And so the goal is to find that real reason why this person does the thing that they do, why they get triggered. What's useful about NLP and the way that they structured it. And then my background is in psych and bio. So I like to look at think processes. So as I was learning, I kind of organized things where like, if this person has this, then I would do this X, Y, Z. And so I kind of followed like my notes that I took in class to alleviate the issue and then do the follow-up with her too.
Interesting. That's so cool. Your previous career was helping you with your new career, actually.
Yeah. And so essentially, like, that's what the basis of neurolinguistic programming is. How you do anything is really how you do everything. So you can have these tenets that you really want in your life and apply it all around and then just have this balance.
That's how you developed your technique. Was there anything particular you did for like road rage client?
We did an incorporated timeline therapy. So we go back to the first time you've ever felt anger. And so that's usually like, you know, maybe in the womb or when you're in the crib and you hit your head and you're like, and then you hit your head again. And then you're like, this is making me angry. So you went to the first instance of anger and removed the emotional charge in her subconscious timeline. So we removed that. It's not like she'll never feel angry again, but we alleviated all the anger that has come up to this point. And then we also ask your subconscious mind, what is it about this situation that makes you angry? Turns out she was actually felt guilty because she had to leave her kid at home.
She wanted to get faster to, like, imagine her kid, so she was just getting angry at the other drivers. Wow, wait, is that a hypnotherapy more or NLP or a mix?
Well, actually, it's more NLP, sorry, not more NLP, because it's asking her these guided questions, these probing questions, bring up the answers subconsciously.
Cool, so you change your mindset. You're like, I am a hypnotherapist. That's how you introduced yourself. And it was just easy to get the rest of the clients from there?
Yeah, they kind of fell in line. So I would like post on Instagram and someone's like, oh, so wait, what do you do now? And I would tell them. And then I would talk about like a particular issue and then how to get rid of that issue. And then I would do a call to action. Like, if you need help, just DM me. Because I didn't have a website or anything yet. So it was just like just hopping on Google Video and then, you know, now I use Zoom and Demio for group hypnosis sessions. But, you know, at that time, even like my classmates or the people I was learning with, they were like, wow, you already have all these clients. And it's, I guess I've always been good at sales. Sales is really service. Always been good at providing a service or showing people a solution. I was a solution-based salesperson. And I was excited to, this is the reason why I went into it. Like, my intention when I took this road was to help people get rid of certain issues. Hey, if you're dealing with this, this is what you do.
Wait, so what is your day-to-day like now?
So now with quarantine, before it was kind of like different, but now it's pretty much the same. So in the mornings, I do my daily practice and I write, I read and I write, writing a mental manifestation manual. So now for my brain trainings, I create like these 200, 300 page manuals that people can utilize for the brain training. And it's essentially almost like the everyday NLP brain training. So I'm writing that daily now, you know, it's like 300 pages. So I've been writing, editing, sending it off to the designer to do the designs and approving that. And then I have sessions in the afternoon, and then I record a video in the evening, or I post a thread on social media based on the DMs that I get. So like the DMs that I get create the content essentially, because I want to answer people's questions.
Gotcha. Cool. The road rage session, is that like a typical session for you, or is there even a typical session?
Oh, so now I mostly focus, like the people that come to me are perfectionists and high achievers that feel blocked either in their career path or in their business or in just feel stuck in general. So my goal is to basically help them remove the subconscious blocks so they can hit the next income level or hit the next promotional level in their company. And so I focus on just like more performance-based hypnotherapy sessions.
Oh, okay. So that's become your niche just naturally, kind of.
Yeah.
That makes sense with your pairing. Are those your favorite types of clients to work with?
Yeah, because a lot of times they have a therapist or they get therapy, but they know that at the end of the day, something is missing for them. It's like, yeah, I go to my doctor for a checkup, but you know, you still need like a fitness trainer, a brain trainer, essentially. And so that's where I come in. I show them the tools. And these are people that like want to really do it. So they stick to the program. Just like how when I took the program with Manifestation Babe, like I was at a certain point in my life where I was just ready to make the most of whatever tools that I had. So it wasn't really just like the program. The program was a tool that I used because I was so ready for this change. These people, they had something that was a catalyst and now they want to up level it and make it their new reality and their new experience. They don't want it to just be like a one-off thing, like manifesting like a large amount of money and then all of a sudden that's it.
Yeah, I had a friend who was obsessed with becoming a millionaire before age 30 happened. And he's like, I'm so unhappy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like to find what really drives you and to create your own personal success framework. So whenever you're stuck, you know exactly what you need to do to get unstuck, essentially.
Do you think you're representative of the typical hypnotherapist and LP practitioner?
No, it's so funny because I think too, that's what helped me get a lot more clients too, because usually they're older And I don't see a lot of their hypnotherapists of color. So when people see me, they're like, oh, it's so cool to see someone that looks like me doing this. And because I felt like weird that I was like even thinking of this, because people still think hypnotherapy is something like woo woo and out there. So, you know, I'm just here with like my glasses and I'm just like, I'll still talk about like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and hypnotherapy. So I'm pretty just like regular. So they follow me for a while before they actually book, but they see that it's not as woo-woo or out there as you think. It's just giving you the tools necessary and showing you how to tap into your subconscious, because that's not something we learn in school.
What do you think the media and film and TV gets the most incorrect about hypnosis?
That it's like we can just force you to do something you don't want to do.
Oh, with the circle. Do you use that at all?
No, it's funny. The pendulum is, you can use it to increase your metabolism.
What? How?
So basically with the pendulum, with your brain controls your hand movements, right? It's just like a lie detector test, like what they use to track like what's going on in your brain with your body movements. And so with the pendulum, you can ask and you put on the piece of paper, like, what's my metabolism level right now? And then it'll swing. So right now it's like, I'd like to increase my metabolism now. And you see how it moves? So you can mentally increase your metabolism.
What number is that? Or is that just the basic level?
So I increased it. So right now, like 65. I was like, I can say, can I increase it by 20?
And it's just swinging more because of your fingers' metabolism is increasing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because mentally it's sending the signal to my hand and the little to give it that little kick to do that. I'm holding it still, but the involuntary movement from my subconscious mind is creating that movement. That's how people play with the Ouija boards. It's their subconscious. It's not really like the spirit board. It's like your subconscious board.
So you said the biggest thing about family is that they think you can control someone as a hypnotherapist.
Yeah. So it's like, they think like, oh, I'm going to make you like turn into a secret assassin. Like, you know, When people say, oh, I'm afraid of it, I'm like, well, you're being subliminally programmed daily on Twitter, on Instagram, on the media. That's what the media is. And that's what it's created to do, to be able to share these ideas of how you should be living your life. It's an easy way to share tenets and rules of society or the culture that you're in. You can notice a difference with British television versus American television and even Canadian. I noticed something when I was younger. I was like, wow, the kids on Canadian shows aren't as cute as kids on American shows. So they weren't as superficial. Like, they picked real looking kids, like that show Degrassi, like these kids look, that's why I like the show more, because like these are real kids, like they, you know, like look like regular kids. And for American shows, it's like they pick based on looks first and then acting ability. The British, they really big on acting ability. The shows really draw you in. And so it's like you could see the difference between like casting in America versus casting Canada and casting in the UK. And then you think about the people that are doing the casting where they were raised. They're raised in a society where beauty is important. So they take that with them into their jobs.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. Because Britain is so much more about formal acting training and school is so much more important there.
Exactly. And so use how subconscious influence within the media is perfect to use to infiltrate your subconscious and how you think and how you choose things. Like just like when you see the two parties in the US, like there are two parties, but it's based on us growing up. There's always good and bad, right? It's never like good and good or good and gooder. Either good or bad. And so it's like, if you want to be on this side, then you have to be the good part, right? They're not really similar at all, right? But then you see there is a lot of similarities for these two parties. And this is even in the UK, how they have their two parties. And so that's based on us, how we grew up, where there's either good or bad. And so nobody wants to be bad. No one wants to be like, yeah, I'm on the party that's bad. Everyone wants to consider their party as the good one.
What is your favorite and least favorite thing about your job?
My favorite part actually is right after a session, it's like they have like an inner glow come out. when they come in to the session, they're just like, and then after a session, they're like, they seem like more confident, and but you could see visibly the weight being lifted off their shoulders. The least favorite part is people, they try to, since they don't understand it, or they're trying to understand it, they kind of like discount it, maybe. Like, they're just like, oh, I love meditation. I'm like, well, you know, is that really meditation? Or people, they follow self-care influencers or people that post like quotes and stuff. And they think that it's the same as like what I do. And I'm like, I'm not an influencer. I'm sharing actual techniques that I use with clients that you can use too. If you can't afford to book me, do this. Hopefully the more people that discover my account or discover hypnotherapy, they kind of see the difference, because one is there to inspire you and one is there to actually help you transform.
Do you have a dream job, or is there anything you're aiming for currently?
I'm really excited to start to offer these packages to corporations, because my goal is to help 2,000 people this year. And so if I work with larger businesses, I'll be able to roll it out to the employees, especially now like that people are working from home and getting these tools into more people's hands. Because I can only like see a certain number of one-on-one clients, but offer it as a corporate wellness package, I can help a lot more people.
Yeah. So is a hypnotherapist your dream career?
Yeah. So it turns out it actually is. And I'm going to school to get my PhD in clinical psych. The Association of American Hypnotherapists is only for doctors that use hypnotherapy. So that is like my next step.
My next level of legitimacy. Yeah, I feel. What is the most difficult decision you've had to make to fulfill your destiny?
Putting my first business like on the back burner, kind of like stepping away from it and shifting my public identity. And so it was hard just starting over.
Especially after you've had a career for a decade. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was on podcasts talking about business funding. I was a money person, money coach. It's like now kind of like switching into more receiving and kind of going complete 180. I think the defining moment was I used to post like, good things come to those who hustle. Now it's like good things come to those who align.
That's so funny. Yeah, going from your intro, like, hi, I'm Julia Bodo, I'm a money coach, to no, I'm a hypnotherapist.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the hardest part, just like letting go of that identity that I built for so long.
Do you think you have a biggest mistake you made in your career?
I would say in the beginning, charging too little. I was thinking like, I want this to get into so many people's hands. And like, I didn't charge a lot, because after learning what pricing and money really is to people, I was doing them a disservice as well, charging so low. I need to start charging more so they can prove to themselves they're making the step in a completely new direction, to give them that energetic leap, to give them the ability to shift the type of person to invest so much into their mindset. That's already a transformation for them.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've noticed this. It's like, it's so weird to charge more to be taken more seriously.
Exactly.
Well, on a converse, is there anything you think you did that was the best thing you did for your career?
I would say I gave a lot away for free. It's either you charge what you're worth or just give the rest for free. You know, like the little trip wires or little stuff for this, like just give them away. Let them get this transformation with your free stuff. And then they buy into it. They know that it will work for them. And so that's been the best thing, creating so much content around this business, because with the business funding, it was built really on referrals and advertising. It's just like, you want money? Sure, I would like some money. That was it. But it's like now I'm like, did you know that your subconscious mind is responsible? So I have to like really teach people about themselves before they felt confident enough to tap into that.
Yeah, it's like the freemium model in business, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So for any aspiring hypnotherapists out there, or people who just want to try it it out and see what it is. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I would say to check out YouTube. Like, a lot of hypnotherapists start to create like content on YouTube so you can learn the differences between hypnosis and meditation. On my channel, I started to go into the details. I have a whole playlist about hypnosis, how you can use it in your life. I also have a video about why I became a hypnotherapist, so they can watch that and see if it resonates with them. I'm also going to post a video about like 5 signs to know that you'd make a great hypnotherapist, because I wish I knew that when I first started. Like, if you're someone that is able to create processes, like, that is an ideal skill. If you're a good listener, if you have great memory, but you can be hypnotized to improve your memory. So, and if you just feel like that your purpose is to be someone to show people the way, then it's definitely for you.
So those are the favorite videos on your channel. What's your channel called on YouTube?
Oh, it's Juliet C.
Great. Do you have a favorite video on someone else's channel?
Yes, there is Marissa Peer. She has a training institute for hypnosis. She's based in the UK, but she has like classes here in the US as well. She has great videos and she's been doing it way longer than I have. So that's someone that I actually look up to.
Cool. So we'll add links to both YouTube channels in our show notes. So this is the end of our interview. So I usually like to give our guests 60 seconds to pitch anything you want. Is there anything you'd like to pitch today?
Yeah, I'd love to, if you guys could check out my brain trainings. It's on forwardinstitute.com. And so with my brain trainings, it's 33 days and we focus on a particular outcome. And so this gives you the benefits of both NLP and hypnosis. So you'll be able to go under self-hypnosis and it combines it with meditation, neural activations, and subliminal audios. So you can actually sleep your way to a new you.
How do you spell the Forward Institute?
FWRDinstitute.com.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great, like, kind of looking back on my journey here.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Juliet Oboldo. I found her journey so, so relatable, especially being embarrassed to tell others when you make a less commonly accepted career choice. You can find links to anything mentioned in the episode in our show notes at thenewschoolpodcast.com/episodes. This is actually our last episode of the season, so to stay up to date on content and when we'll be back, make sure to follow us on Instagram at The New School Podcast and on Twitter at The New School Pod. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are currently collecting potential guests for season 3. Do you feel like you or someone else would be an amazing guest on our show? If yes, please contact us on our website, thenewschoolpodcast.com/contact. Want your ultimate guide on how to turn your passions into a meaningful career? Subscribe to our weekly newsletter at thenewschoolpodcast.com. I want to wrap up the season by saying thank you so much to all you listeners out there for your support and making The New School possible. Have such an amazing summer, guys. I'll see you guys back soon for season 3. As usual, I encourage you all to try something new today.
The New School with Christine Hong is produced by Jenny Snyder and Shristi Biani. Editing by Sydney Salk, John Simpson, and Joseph Cho. Video editing by Josh Stanley. Special thanks to our marketing team who helped us spread our mission and put the New School name out there. Katie Wasaki, Emma Borgerding, Giovanni Cortez, Cynthia Shao, Dina Che, and Marissa Wolfsheimer.